Welcome to the CSIS Cogitasia podcast, where we think deeply and reflect on policy in Asia. I'm your host, Colm Quinn. We'll start, as we always do, with the region's news. China's Securities Finance Corporation requested $322 billion to further strengthen its ailing stock market. It puts the amount of stimulus injected so far to halt the slide at over $1 trillion. In Tokyo, an advisory panel submitted a report to Prime Minister Shinzo Abe on a planned statement to mark the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II. The report stipulated that Japan expanded its aggression and waged a reckless war in World War II. The content of Abe's plan statement has drawn scrutiny from observers in South Korea, China, and other countries affected by Japan's wartime conduct. In New Delhi, the Indian government announced it had reached a major peace accord with the Naga ethnic group, specifically the National Socialist Council of Nagaland, a militant group in northeast India. Different Naga groups have been waging a guerrilla war against successive Indian governments since the 1950s, hoping to develop their own country. The talks leading to the current agreement began in 1997. However, due to lack of specific details and lack of an agreement with other groups, experts argue that the merits of the accord are difficult to judge just yet. Lee Hee-ho, the widow of former South Korean President Kim Dae-jung, arrived in North Korea on Wednesday, hoping to create momentum to enhance cross-border relations as the two countries mark the 70th anniversary this month of their liberation from Japan's colonial rule. Her four-day trip to the communist state comes as relations on the Korean Peninsula continue to flatline, with the North refusing to back down from its nuclear program and the South raising pressure on the regime to improve its human rights standards. In Southeast Asia, foreign ministers of countries around the region gathered for the annual ASEAN Regional Forum and annual ASEAN Ministerial Meetings in Kuala Lumpur. At the meeting, the United States Secretary of State John Kerry proposed that claimants in the South China Sea halt all ongoing island construction and land reclamation. Meanwhile, Chinese and ASEAN leaders reportedly agreed to accelerate negotiations on a code of conduct for the disputed seas. A joint communique from ASEAN ministers was delayed due to disagreements over how to phrase a paragraph on maritime disputes in the South China Sea. And that's the news. This week we turn to efforts to manage malaria in Myanmar and Southeast Asia. The CSIS Global Health Policy Centre hosted a unique multi-day conference of various stakeholders from Myanmar to discuss the path forward for eliminating the disease and how NGOs and government donors could best direct their efforts. With many different ethnic groups, several conflict zones and low government capacity, coordinating an effort to manage a tropical disease such as malaria becomes a huge undertaking, yet one that has also the potential to bring different actors together. In this segment, you'll hear from CSIS's Dr. Stephen Morrison, Myanmar's Deputy Minister of Health, the Director of Kayan State's Department of Health and Welfare, and the National Democracy League's Senior Health Advisor, Aung San Suu Kyi.
I'm Steve Morrison. I'm the Senior Vice President here at CSIS. What we're going to be reporting on here in the course of this event is a conference that really began on Sunday evening with a dinner and then involved a full day of consultations yesterday and then a concluding meeting today of a very diverse group of Myanmar constituencies that came to Washington to gather to talk about malaria elimination as a shared goal. This is unprecedented.
We started discussion from the Sunday evening, and then now that we have come to a very important sort of the agreement that we have consensus we have made among ourselves, and given that Myanmar is in its very important moment of its transition towards a developed nation, and then now the health, we put it health as a very integral part of the development of the whole population, and then development of the other sectors like socioeconomic and then all-round development. So Myanmar, we have a national health system, and then again now it has come to a time like we will have come up with a very integrated, comprehensive sort of health initiatives, especially this conference is we have a streamline towards the elimination of malaria in Myanmar. And then thank you for all your kind presence with us today. And then so myself and then the other the dignified colleagues that we are happy to join with you here. This is the sole reason why we all are here and how to combat that malaria and then leading towards elimination. Then, of course, malaria is endemic in Myanmar traditionally. And over the years, we have bring down the very high morbidity and mortality. You know that I'm not going back to the to many decades ago, but you know that within this 5 years, for example, like in 2013, we have malaria morbidity. The case load is around 300,000 patients with some in some hundreds of the mortality, and then it has been brought down in 2014, become 200,500 patients. And plus 92 mortality. So that is that malaria itself is on the decreasing trend. But looking at the the border areas, like because Myanmar is a country sharing the very long common porous border among with other 5 countries, and then the malaria resistant strain that K13 propeller has been identified in Thailand, in Cambodia, and then it has also identified in then some border areas bordering to those countries. But our concern, and also not only at the national level, the regional level concern is we have a high malaria burden. Although mortality number is very, it's getting small, but we still have a high morbidity, the high many number of cases. And then so we really need to contain that resistant strain, not come into Myanmar. And then so that is the malaria, anti-drug-resistant malaria containment program has been initiated since over the years. And but we really need to make it sure it is that drug-resistant malaria strain cannot be spread deeply into Myanmar. So that's why now we are on the ongoing process with having some research and then scientific studies that to have come up and to identify how serious that spread of the malaria resistant strain in Myanmar. It is that the studies are still ongoing, but the almost confirmed situation in the bordering Thailand and then the Cambodia, it is a, we have a collaboration among the greater Mekong subregions, that the CLMV plus Thailand. So we have a regional initiative have taken already also.
My name is Saw Eklishweu. I am the director of the Karen Departments of Health and Welfare from Burma. We live in the Karen state, especially along the Thai-Burma border. And according to the political and conflict, a lot of people become the internally displaced people. And as the internally displaced people, they are poor, they are at the mountain area and the jungle, so they face with a lot of the malaria problem. When we look the biggest the problems, the health status of the IDP, internally displaced people, we see that the communicable disease is the biggest problem for us. In that communicable disease, malaria is the biggest one. As I said, because of the political and conflict, the government health services cannot reach become like hard to reach area to our area. So that as we live in the internally displaced people area, we have to find the way to solve the malaria problem as the biggest one. If we look to the malaria, we see that the incidence, the prevalence of the malaria rate is the average 11%. We found that since 2003. So from that, we start to provide malaria control program from 2013. And we start with only 1,500 people. And finally, we can increase to more than 100,000 people for malaria area, control area, like that. And now in this 2014, we start to study a pilot research of the malaria elimination that is since 2013-14, like that. So now we are at the ongoing malaria study elimination pilot area in our current state, especially in along the border. Yeah.
Bridget Desimone with Bernas. What do you all think was the biggest hurdle that you overcame this week during your discussions?
I think there are two parts. One is the technical, and one another is the policy and the principle. What I understand is the gain, what you gain during the discussions. You mean that? What the questions? Yeah, of course. Because I think it is the every first term where we have this opportunity to discuss among the diverse groups, like from even from the three ministries, like Ministry of Health, Ministry of Defense, and Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and also from the three various ethnic groups, member of the parliament, and the main opposition party, myself. So here we want to show and want to develop a model or the practice, so-called the dialogue, which we have to admit that this type of the culture where we used to solve the problems by dialogue and frequent meetings, where we can gain more trust and confidence, and we share the experience, information, knowledge. And especially in a condition like our country, there are so many conflict areas. So, but we are going for the so-called the malaria elimination program. But still, we have to solve with the other factors. Because we have to admit that the political weather umbrella is very important in our country like us. So if we can bring in one table talking and discussing with so many diverse groups, like I already mentioned, then we can go on, we can forward with how we are going to implement in our country in the very near future. So even this morning, we noted that whoever win the election, win in the coming election, this group, so-called the malaria elimination program, or even if we can form a committee, will go on, because there will be still this disease in our country, which really threatened. Because from opposition party, our policy was drawn, and then we for the communicable diseases, we mainly for the malaria, tuberculosis, and HIV, which really threatens our country still. So I think by bringing all these diverse groups here, facing each other, discussing, debating, and we have a very optimistic view that we can overcome all these challenges and will gain our objectives.
Now on to our one to watch. Malaysian Prime Minister Najib Razak confirmed this week that a piece of aircraft wing debris recently discovered on Reunion Island belonged to Malaysian Airlines flight MH370, which vanished during a routine flight from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing on March 8th of last year in a mystery which dominated world headlines. The French-controlled Reunion itself is located in the Indian Ocean just east of Madagascar off the East African coast, several thousand miles from the original flight path. Reportedly, additional aircraft debris was found on the island's beaches this week, raising hopes that the Boeing 777's main hull and flight recorder could eventually be located based on analysing ocean current data. And that's our show for this week. You can always find more at cogitasia.com and csis.org. I'm Colin Quinn. Thanks for listening.